Hey, church family, it's good to be with you this morning. And my phone ringer is going off for some reason. All right, well, there we go. Wait, great way to start this morning, right? My name is Mike. I'm our Friendswood campus pastor, and I should probably turn this off. It is so good to be with you this morning. Really, isn't it a blessing God gave us today? Today is a gift from our Heavenly Father, and the question is what are we going to do with it? My prayer as a church family is that, man, we're going to make the most of everything that God gives us. In fact, if it is your very first time here at New Hope Church, we want you to know you belong here, that God has a plan for you and a purpose for your life, and we're excited that you're on here. In fact, if you're here for the very first time, whether on Facebook Live or YouTube Live, would you drop a line, let us know where you're from, and tell us you're a first-time guest, this is your first time here, maybe someone invited you here, and church family, would you just love on that person? Also, you may already know this, but if you drop a line there and let us know what we can pray for, we'd love to pray for you. Let us know where you're tuning in from, man. It's such an honor and so cool to see people from all over the place jumping in to be a part of our TNT Tuesday and Thursday devotionals. So this weekend, oh, I'm so excited. Talking about using the potential God has given us. This weekend, we're going to be handing out booklets on what we're going to start the 21 days of prayer as. Pastor Tim's been talking about it, and our team's been talking about it. We're so excited, and we're excited about what God's going to do. We're going to be praying for our ones, those people who are far from God, or those people who don't know Jesus yet. We're going to be praying for them, because remember what Jesus did. Jesus left the 99 for the one. Right? And so we have to be willing. We're the flock. We're the 99. We've got to be willing to go after those ones so that, man, and pray for those ones so that they would come to know Jesus. Also, super excited about this weekend. Just be ready. So have your one's name. And I know some of you are like, I got 10 ones, as many ones as you have. Have your ones named this weekend, because what we're going to do is you're going to be writing them down, and you're going to be placing them in the wall, and it's going to be really cool in the walls of our church. And so they're going to be bathed in prayer as a church family. They're going to be a part of the history of our church, their names. And so that's going to be a really awesome opportunity. Hey, but before I go on any longer, I want to see who's on YouTube Live. Hey, good morning, Christy Horner. I see you there. Carrie O. And there's Gordon. Hey, Gordon. Hey, I see you. You said hi to me, Gordon. We should send you something. Cassandra, it's good to see you this morning. Jean, all right? All right, let's see. Facebook Live, who's on there? Who's on Facebook Live? You know what? My phone's not loading up, but I know this. I love you guys, and it's so good to be with you. So today, you know, before we get started and jumping into today's devotional, I want to invite you to turn to the book of Matthew chapter 13, and we're going to be in verses 52 through 53, kind of, and maybe 51. But before we go there, would you join me in prayer, church family? Heavenly Father, I thank you, God. I thank you for all that you've done. God, I pray right now, in the name of Jesus, for those students that are coming back from camp, those high schoolers, Lord, that the seed that you planted in them, Lord, would be strong, Father, that they'd come back, Lord, and they'd be strong in you, Lord. They'd be impassioned by your spirit, Father, and that every word that they heard, God, as your word tells us, would not return void. I pray for those high schoolers that they would be in love with you, Lord, and they'd come back on fire for you. And I also pray as today at noon, 12:30, I believe, our junior high students are going to be loading up for camp. Father, may their hearts be ready to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ, and maybe they be the future of our church. And Lord, I pray, God, as we open up the Bible and read today, Lord, I pray you would help me because I need it. And I pray that you would have, God, that we would have attentive ears and open hearts to hear your word, and that, Jesus, you would be the loudest voice today. It's in Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. Now we're ready to start. Hey, and if you didn't know it, obviously I was praying about it. I apologize. I should have told you. But our high schoolers are returning from camp today, as our junior high students, middle schoolers, will be going to camp. So there's an exchange. And so be praying for them. Continue to pray for them that the seed, the what's been planted in their hearts would be strong, and they would come back hungry to be even better disciples for Jesus. That's so exciting. If you have a high schooler at high school camp, hey, drop their name in there. Tell people to continue to pray for them. And if you have a junior high student that's going to camp, drop their name as well so people can start praying for them right now, okay? Okay, so we're going to be in Matthew chapter 13, verses 52 through 53, but I need to give you some context because you're going to be like, what? There's two verses, Pastor Mike, and in one of them, Jesus is kind of saying, see ya. So I know it's really like a verse and a half or something that we're going to be talking about, so it might be really short, kind of like me, just saying. But this is the thing. So before we get started on this passage, I want to give you the context in which Jesus is teaching. He's teaching about several, in chapter 13 of Matthew, a lot of different parables about the kingdom of God. He gives illustrations about how precious the value of having salvation is. Jesus's understanding of the kingdom of God is that it's treasure and it's to be valued. It's precious. Knowing Jesus is precious, is it not, right? You know, and what's interesting is the parable we're going to be talking about, it's often not even referred to as a parable, which is chapter 13, verses 52 through 53. So I want to actually start with verse 51. And just because I think it's a cool introduction to the next two verses, Jesus says this. When he's talking about all these different parables, he looks at his disciples and the parables he's been teaching. And he says, Have you understood all these things? And boy, isn't that an interesting question? He looks back at them after teaching them and after explaining to them. And then he says, have you understood all these things? And I think that's a question for us today. Of course, they responded yes. Who's going to respond no to Jesus, right? Like, whatever you want, Lord. But do you and I understand what God desires for each and every one of us? I don't know why. I felt like I needed to ask that question this morning. Do you know what God desires for you, for your life? Because when we read these teachings and we read the Word and we study and we go to church and we're in life group and we're a part of a community, there's a bigger picture at hand. God is creating a story, a narrative, and we're these people in the story, but God is doing something greater. And so in whatever we do, it's about bringing glory back to God, right? It's bigger than us. I think that's part of the understanding of where we're going. And so in verses 52 through 53, this is how it says. He said to them, therefore, teacher of the law, every teacher of the law who has become a disciple in the kingdom of heaven is like the owner of a house who brings out of the storeroom new treasures as well as old. When Jesus had finished these parables, he moved from there. Let's say a word of prayer. It's over. No, I'm just joking. But so when Jesus says, therefore, every teacher of the law who has become a disciple, the word disciple in some of your Bibles will say a scribe. And a scribe was a person, man, who truly and, you know, understood the law. He was a person, and generally, scribes, it was a passed down tradition of work, and they were meticulous about knowing the scriptures. There were generations who received the correct and exact words. They made sure that the Bible was intact, that they were super serious. Scribes are super serious about the Word of God, about interpreting the Word of God. The Word of God was so critical to them. In fact, when I was in seminary, I read stories about scribes who, they, you know, when you study, you kind of lean over. They studied the Word of God so much, many of them had serious back problems because they were devoted not just to studying the Word of God, as we read about in the Old Testament and in the ancient world, but they loved God. So they didn't just love the Word. They didn't just love the law. They didn't just love what God was writing to them. They loved the Lord. And in fact, a scribe of this nature would be one maybe like Ezra in the Old Testament. He was an interpreter of the law, but he didn't just love the law. He loved the Lord with all his heart. So you could say they were fully devoted followers of Jesus, which is why in many of your translations, including mine, it says, therefore, every teacher of the law who has become a disciple. So teachers, people who teach the law should be disciples, right? And truth is, if you think about it, I think personally that this passage is much more than just about people who teach the law, which, by the way, you know, I really believe this. We're all called to preach the gospel. We're all called to be witnesses. That sounds pretty familiar to me. We are witnesses, huh? Where have I heard that? Anybody heard that yet? Yeah, that's right. Back in April, we went through a series called We Are Witnesses. And man, that series really set us up for an incredibly beautiful future, I believe, in our church body. I've already heard so many stories. Thank you, Jesus, for Pastor Tim's leadership. But I've heard so many stories about people coming to know Jesus, people who were praying for their ones and coming to know Jesus, people who were far from God or people who hadn't, just really never really knew God, and they came to know Jesus. You know, truth is even in the New Testament, think about this for a moment. Jesus was a witness for God to the kingdom of heaven. And what happened to him? He was crucified for being a witness. And the combination of those two is really where we get the Greek word martus, which is a martyr. And so that's why in the New Testament, those who are witnesses are martyrs. You know, it's not just someone who believes, but it's someone who believes in Christ so much, they take action on his behalf. That's why when the disciples were killed for their faith in Jesus, we call them martyrs. But in the New Testament, it says that those who are witnesses are martyrs. And so how can we do this? How can we live out this life for Jesus? Because we're empowered by his Holy Spirit to be discipled. Truth is, our faith has a deep history, which is why it talks about the treasures of the old and new, right? It says, like the owner who brings out of his storeroom new treasures as well as old. We have a deep history. You may not know this, but as Christians, that's why we have an Old Testament, which if you read it, praise God, because it's a while. It's a lot bigger than the New Testament. But the Old Testament, you just have to read it. The Old Testament and the New Testament are one cohesive story. As one of my mentors used to tell me, it's God's love story to you. So if you don't ever read the Old Testament, it really leaves you lacking in understanding the New Testament. The Old Testament tells the story of God, how God establishes his relationship with his people and his laws, but it carefully sets the stage for the New Testament. A time when God would enter human history, and no longer would the law just be written on human tablets, which is a reference to the Ten Commandments, but the law would be written on our hearts. And so it wouldn't be just about doing what's right, but God would enter in the form of Jesus, human history, being fully God and yet fully human. He would come to redeem us and to rescue us from our sins and write his laws upon our heart. In the same way, he released his people in the Old Testament, right? The Hebrews from slavery. He would once again release his people, us, both Jews and Gentiles. Gentiles, which are us, praise God. All people from the bondage of slavery, just like the Hebrews in the Old Testament. But this time it was from the bondage of sin. So as Christians, we carry this treasure of wisdom handed down to us from our Heavenly Father. Isn't that beautiful, church family? Can I get an amen, right? It's why it's so critical that we read and we memorize God's word. Listen, I love that our church gets together on the weekends, that we join one another, and it's a celebration. I love that we get together for the Tuesday and Thursday devotionals, and man, this is so much fun. I'll tell you, this morning, though, it was not a lot of fun for me. I was rushing, and it was not a good feeling, and I had to go back home, and I came here, and I felt like I had been jogging, and it just wasn't good. But you know what? But it's beautiful that we get to get together. You know, I love that we do life groups and we live. But hey, by the way, if you aren't in a life group, this coming September, we're going to start Life Group Connect. So in September, you'll be able to register. I mean, that's like right around the corner. And you'll be able to get into a life group, a brand new life group or an existing life group. We'll register. We'll sign you up. So make sure you don't forget that. Keep that on your calendar. Also, there's so many things at our church for you to get involved in and to do, and we want you in those things. But the reality is this, there is no substitution for getting in the Word of God. Can I get an amen? There is no substitution for reading this Word, for memorizing this Word, from hearing the inspired, living Word of God. There's no substitution. It's like the person who works out day and night, and they're working out, and they're like, I can't gain any weight. I don't have that problem, but I can't gain any weight. I can't gain any muscle, so I'm going to take some protein. I'm going to take some supplements. I'm going to take some power bars, whatever it is you do, power shakes. There's no substitute like a real slab of juicy steak. Can I get an amen? You just can't substitute it. There's nothing like the real thing. And there's nothing like the Bible. And so while we want you, and you know, the Bible tells us, go to church, you know, to be a part of a community, to do devotionals like this, you gotta read your Bible. So here's my encouragement to you, church family. If you're going to be a disciple of Jesus, if you're going to grow in Christ, there's no replacement for this. Take 15 minutes. 15 minutes. You probably take longer to eat breakfast or lunch. 15 minutes a day. And if you're one of those people who just rush all around the place and you've got zero time that morning, do an audio Bible. But this is the thing. I would encourage you, honestly, to do this. 15 minutes a day. Pray before you read it. Then read it for a few minutes. Write down what you see, what you observe. And then ask yourself, God, how do I apply this passage to my life? And then pray again and ask God to help you apply it to your life. You know, I'll tell you this. When we talk about passages like this, where we're talking about discipleship and what we do, just taking it up a notch, it's why as a dad, I made a decision when my son was 2 years old. My wife and I would, you know, we had one kid at the time, now we have two. And since 2 years old, we've been calling our kids down to our bedroom and we open up the Bible and we read it together. And it's nothing big. We just go over kind of four things. It's actually called the SOAP method, if you've ever heard of it. The S stands for scripture, the O stands for observation, the A stands for application, and the P stands for prayer. So it's just using the SOAP method: scripture, observation, application, and prayer. And we've been doing this for years and years. And so what we do is, right now we're in the book of Ephesians, and we open it up, we read a little passage just like we did here. Sometimes it's four verses, and sometimes what's cool is now our kids are like, Dad, can I read? Dad, can I? It's so neat. They're reading, and sometimes they're like, can I read more? I mean, like, who's going to stop them from reading the Bible, right? But this is the thing. It's become a part of who we are as a church family. And my daughter's so quick, and actually they both are, like, we're so tired, we're going to bed. They're like, no, we haven't read the Bible yet. Isn't that amazing? Think about that, church family. But this is why it's so critical. If our children are going to be like Jesus, we have to model what it looks like to be like Jesus. It doesn't mean we're going to get it right. Can I get an amen? If our friends are going to look like Jesus, we have to model it. And the reality is, you know, as we talk about this and this passage talks about that treasure, you know, what is the treasure, right? It's 100% the rich history of God's manifold wisdom and revelation. But it also, I think this, you know, while it's the treasure is the wisdom and revelation God gives us, I believe it's also the treasure in our heart that he's talking about. Remember what Jesus asked when he said, what's the greatest commandment? The Pharisees were asking him, hey, what's the greatest commandment, trying to trip him up, right? And he says, to love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, and all your mind. This is the great first and greatest commandment. And then he says, love your neighbor as yourself. Listen, at the end of the day, we can't be a good disciple of Jesus. We can't grow in Christ. No matter how much we read this, it's got to get here. What is that, like 11 inches to our heart? And it's got to transform our mind, and it's got to change us. So I'll tell you this. Recently, Pastor Colin, who I love, he is one young, wise pastor. He's a wise guy. No, I'm joking. He's a wise pastor, and Pastor Colin, so graciously, you know, we met together and Pastor Colin was like, Pastor Mike, teach me your wisdom. I think he thinks I'm smart because I have gray hair. But I turned and I met with him for a moment and I gave him some things I thought would be healthy and helpful for him. And then I looked at him and I said, now give me your wisdom, Pastor Colin. And you know what he did? He recommended a really good book to me called The Ruthless Elimination of Hurry. And I want to read a small passage to you, and I think it pertains to this idea that we're trying to do discipleship in an instant society. You and I are trying to be more like Christ in a world where everything's going fast, and we've got this treasure that our Heavenly Father has given us. And I want to read this passage to you real quick. Listen carefully to this hypothesis about it was, I believe, 20,000 Christians were surveyed in the globe and identified business as a major distraction from spiritual life. And here it is. It may be the case that Christians are assimilating to a culture of busyness, hurry, and overload, which leads to God becoming more marginalized in Christians' lives, which leads to a deterioration of their relationship with God, which leads to Christians becoming even more vulnerable to adopting assumption about how to live, which leads to more conformity to a culture of busyness and overload, and then the cycle begins over and over again. And as pastors, by the way, we're the worst. Hey, he's talking about us. And I can tell you this. Think about this. When we try to rush this idea of discipleship, he says it like this in another passage. Hurry and love are incompatible. All my worst moments as a father, a husband, and pastor, even as a human being, are when I'm in a hurry, late for an appointment, behind on my unrealistic to-do list, trying to cram too much into my day, ooze anger, tension, a critical nagging, the antithesis of love. If you don't believe me, next time you're trying to get to your spouse and three young kids, easily distracted children out of the house, and you're running late, just pay attention to how you relate to them. Does it look like love, or is it far more the vein of agitation, anger, a biting comment, a rough glare? Hurry and love are oil and water. They simply do not mix. And he goes on to say, by the way, this is the book, The Ruthless Elimination of Hurry. It is a crazy book that has really kind of transformed my thinking. But he goes on to say that the moment that we put ourselves to being disciples of Jesus, that we decide we're going to focus on God, that's the moment that distraction comes in. The moment that you decide that you're going to carve out time for God, that spirit of hurry comes in, you're rushing around, you lose focus, you look for your phone, or someone's calling you, or maybe it's social media, you start running there, your workout runs. There are things that come into your life. Listen, reality is this. I think one of the best tricks that the enemy does is He lets us buy into busy and hurry. And the busier we can be in our life, and it's not busy with bad things, it's busy with good things. The less we can say no to things, the more difficult our life begins, and the more separated and unfocused we get from God as a disciple. Recently, there was an Olympian, if you've been watching the Olympics, named Sydney McLaughlin. And she was racing in the 400-meter hurdle. And man, if you've ever seen that, it's intense. It's crazy. And she's a follower of Jesus, and she had three false starts every single time she got up to think about that. It's a false start, and so it's not working out. And she's thinking in her head, man, like, how do I even do this thing? It feels so difficult. And this is what she wrote. Let me read this real fast. And she wrote, I could feel this meet was going to be something special, man. Weeks like this are some of the hardest things in a track athlete's life. The mental strain of preparing for the rounds in order to solidify your spot is heavy enough, but the amount of weight the Lord took off my shoulders is the reason I could run so freely yesterday. My faith was being tested all week, from bad practices to three false start just delays. And she goes on to say, three false starts. Things weren't working out. She lost so much focus. And then she, you know what she heard? She heard this voice, and it was God saying, focus on me, focus on me, focus on me. And she began to run her race. And do you know what Sydney did? She broke the world record. After feeling like she had failed, she broke the world record. And I just tell you this, church family, it may feel impossible as we try to study this word, as we try to be teachers to our families and encouragers to people in our neighborhoods, and as we're praying for one another, and as we're trying to keep focus on God, my encouragement to you would be simply this: focus on God, focus on God. Don't take your eyes off God. And at the end of the day, we can say we ran our race and we made our Heavenly Father proud. All right? Well, this is all I got for you this morning. I told you it was going to be short and sweet, and my prayer and my hope is that you were encouraged and that someone out there was inspired to be more like Jesus, to live like Jesus, to be a disciple of Jesus. Church family, I'm going to pray for you, but before I do, I want to remind you, remember, we're getting back together Thursday morning, and Thursday night is service, and we're going to get our booklets, our 21 days of prayer. We're going to bring the names of our ones, put them in the walls of our church, and we're going to celebrate, because we know this, that when we pray, God changes everything. God moves in the hearts of the people, and the gospel of Jesus Christ is going to change the world. One person at a time, right? Have your ones ready. Let me pray with you. Heavenly Father, I thank you, God, that You've given us your word. I pray that the treasure that we have, God, in you, the wisdom, the revelation, the knowledge of knowing you, Father, that we would share it, Lord, and we would be people who not only love you with our mind, but our hearts and our souls, God, and God, we would give you all of us, Lord, that we wouldn't let the spirit of hurry keep us from being disciples of you, Lord. I thank you for your goodness and mercy. It's in the mighty name of Jesus Christ we all say, amen. All right, grace, mercy, and peace. God bless you, church family. See you Thursday.